Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, in addition to telling us that false teachers are a reality in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ in this era, Peter also tells us something about the nature of their destruction. He tells us about their destructive ways in verse 2 when he says, "Many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." And as we saw in the broadcast yesterday, that term destructive, that is translated destructive here, is a Greek word that is often used of sexual immorality. Is that what Peter has in mind here? It very well may be, because he uses that same word in that context, in the context of sexual immorality, just a few verses later. And our own observation and experience tells us that this is exactly so, that so often false doctrine, false teachers, and sexual immorality go hand in hand. And so when you see sexual immorality being promoted, condoned, justified, and lauded even by churches, as we find happening a lot in the day in which we live, you will almost always find that coupled with heresy, unsound doctrine, false teachers who are teaching contrary to Scripture. The two go hand in hand, and Peter tells us that that is so, so that we will not be blindsided. We will recognize it ahead of time. But we want to continue with what Peter warns us about, and so we will do that on this Wednesday, January 14, as we gather together around the Word of God, and are able to do so because of the financial gifts of you, our radio listeners. Well, Peter is teaching us here to guard both doctrinal purity and behavioral purity in your life and in your church. You've got to be vigilant. Guard both doctrinal and behavioral purity in your life and in your church. If you fail to heed this warning, you are going to suffer some serious consequences. And furthermore, it is necessary for the people of God to be willing to speak out against false teachers. Because false teachers that are present in churches are viewed as part of the Christian church by those who are outside. They can't distinguish between the true and the false, and they shouldn't be expected to. It is the church's responsibility to maintain doctrinal and moral purity. That's our job. And when we don't do it, we badly damage the testimony of Christ to a watching world. But now Peter goes on to give us something of the motive of why these false teachers do what they do. When he says in verse 3, "By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words," and so forth. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. And their motive is greed. It is a monetary motive. They are covetous. They have an insatiable desire to obtain more wealth. and they have made a calculated decision to do and say whatever pays the best. A true teacher will not do that. A true shepherd, a true under-shepherd will not do that. He's not interested in fleecing the sheep. He's interested in feeding the sheep and protecting the sheep. He is interested in serving the shepherd, and he trusts his Lord and Master Jesus Christ to supply the financial resources that Christ thinks are needed for him and for his situation. And true teachers are willing to commit that to the Lord. And oftentimes, true teachers are living on very meager resources, have very small salaries. But false teachers aren't going to work for low pay, and they'll figure out ways to make their labors pay. In fact, they'll figure out what will pay the best. And of course, what will pay the best is giving people what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. You don't get paid well for stepping on toes and offending people, for the most part, usually. There are exceptions to that. But you don't, when you have a lot of people who love the Lord and love the truth, then you very well may be generously compensated for your faithfulness to the Word of God. But that's not because you made a calculated decision to follow the path that would pay you the highest wage. It's because you made a calculated decision to follow the truth and serve the Lord Jesus Christ wherever it leads and trust the Lord to take care of your financial needs, which he has promised to do. But false teachers have a mercenary motive. They are hirelings. Jesus said as much in John chapter 10. He talked about the true shepherds, and then he talked about false shepherds who are hirelings. They do what they do not out of love for Christ or love for the sheep, but out of love for money. And Peter is telling us exactly the same thing. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. We are told that the ancient world was full of wandering teachers who had a reputation for propagating almost anything that would produce financial gain. That was part of the culture in that day. Teachers who would wander from place to place and teach what they had figured out pleased people for a profit. Well, folks, things haven't changed much from that day to today. The ways this is done have changed. People don't wander from village to village like they did in those days because they can now employ mass media, radio, television, book sales, and so forth. You know, it is challenging to go into your average Christian bookstore and find books and other Christian literature that is truly sound doctrine. You will find a lot of things which are heretical in Christian bookstores that generally present themselves as being evangelical, which doesn't mean a whole lot anymore. That word evangelical that used to have a well-understood and honorable meaning doesn't mean much anymore. It's been so compromised and watered down that it just doesn't communicate much of anything. And there are a lot of evangelical bookstores, and a lot of what bookstores sell are harmless trinkets. They're not really harmful, necessarily. Greeting cards and bookmarks and pens and all kinds of things of that nature that people enjoy obtaining. But so many times the books are the books that sell the best, and after all, it is a business. It's a Christian bookstore, and they've got to stay in business. And so they will stock and promote the books that sell the best, and the books that sell the best are generally the ones that tell people what they want to hear rather than presenting a sound message from the Word of God. And so you've got the modern version of the ancient practice. Now, covetousness does not always produce wealth, but it always corrupts and ruins. This is not saying that everybody whose motive is money is going to succeed in getting rich, but it means that that's what they're trying to do. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. We all know that in the secular world, there are all kinds of schemes to get rich quick and to cheat people out of money, and some people try to do these things and don't succeed very well, and other people succeed tremendously, unfortunately. But both had the same motive. The ones that didn't succeed very well because they just didn't have the same talent, the same personality, the same gifts, the same savvy, nevertheless have the same motive. God, who knows the heart, who knows why they did what they did, he knows what they were trying to do, and even if they didn't succeed, they still had the wrong motive. And it's the same thing with false teachers. There are many false teachers who are trying to climb the ladder of success. They're trying to find a way to make their teaching pay, and pay big. Some succeed, some don't, but that's the motive of them all. But, dear folks, it's not possible for people to make money from churches and Christians unless Christians gullibly support them, or those who profess to be Christians. You understand what I'm saying? There are a lot of gullible people, I think, that really are born-again believers. And again, God knows the heart, and he will sort it all out. But if God's people were more careful in how they gave their money, if they made certain that they only gave to sound ministries, to true teachers, ones that they were certain of that, not just had this good feeling about, oh, this subjectivism, that's going to be the ruin of us, but really know that they are sound teachers, and only supported ministries like that. I mean, goodness sakes, there are so many good ones deserving of the support of God's people. It's a shame that bad ones should get any money from God's people, but they do. I've seen too many examples of that over the years. Good Christian people who get emotionally carried away by some false and deceptive teacher, and they give their money, they support the heretic, they help promote his heresy, they are helping deceive other people by their financial gifts because they are gullible and deceived, and because they're not listening to the Bible, they're not listening to warnings like these that Peter has given. They brush that off. They think they know better. They think they can tell instinctively, intuitively. They have a good feeling about this. And that's the surest way to disaster. Now, one side issue before we close, and that is, it would not be possible for false teachers to make money like this unless it were understood that churches support their ministers financially. Some people argue that that should not be done, that that is not what was taught in the Bible, that's not the way things should be done. Well, if that's not the way things were done in the Bible, then there would be no possibility of making money by teaching error. Do you understand? It's a indirect support of this biblical practice. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.